This is an interview with Letitia Webb by Edward McCurley for the Kentucky Oral History Commission. This interview was conducted at Ms. Webb's home on Main Street in Greenup, Kentucky, on July 28, 1978.
Taking some notes over here as we talk, and that way if you mention the names of any people, I'll be able to jot those down so that I can get the right spelling on there and everything.
And the subject is E.K.
It can be about E.K., but I'm interested first of all in a little bit about you. For example,
I'm afraid there's nothing important about me.
Where were you born?
In Lawrence County, Kentucky. Mm-hmm. Cherokee. It was the Indian village at one time.
I see.
And then we moved to Carter County. And then after I was married, I moved to Greenup. And we lived here since 1914.
Now, what about this E.K. Railroad? I'm not familiar with it.
Well, it's a branch of a road in the east, and it belonged to Nathaniel Thayer. He was the owner of the road, and Sturgis Bates was Sturgis Bates' father was a friend of Nathaniel Thayer, and that's how he got his position here as manager of the E.K. And then he died, and his son took over, and I don't remember what year they discontinued the road, but my husband went to work on E.K. when he was 17 years old. They thought he was 18, but he was 17. And then he worked on the road until they discontinued the road, until they sold out. And the road is just 36 miles long. It runs from Greenup to then it was Riverton. This was Riverton. And he worked till they discontinued the road, and then
what did he start out doing on the railroad?
Watching the engine. What? Watching the engine at night.
I see.
And then he was fireman. And during World War I, they ran an X-ray train. They had more to haul. And he was engineer. Huey Cranin, that lived next door, their house since has burned and the family is all gone. And he was an engineer, and my husband was fireman for him.
How long was he an engineer, your husband?
Oh, I don't know. Just off and on for several years.
What,
he was young, and older men had worked longer. They usually was engineer, and he was fireman.
I understand the train ran to Webbville.
Yes, Webbville was named for my husband's people. They were first settlers there.
Do you know when they settled there?
No, I don't. They came from Virginia. to Webville. Do you know Dr. Robert Webb at Grayson?
No, I don't.
He's a pharmacist. He's one of them, one of the clan. There's so many Webbs, there's a lot of them around, I guess, in Greenwood County that are no relation, because they settled in this country in 1640.
Oh, I see. That's quite a long time ago.
Yes. They started to run out sometimes.
And what was your family's name?
Skeens.
Skeens.
Yes. My grandfather's name was Jasper Skeens, and he was a Baptist minister, and they came from Wales.
Edward.
And to Virginia. Mm-hmm. And then the Steens came to Prestonsburg, and my mother's people were from North Carolina, from Ashe County, North Carolina. And my mother, when she was 9 years old, they crossed the Allegheny Mountain in the covered wagon, and in order to eliminate the weight, she carried a large stone pitcher about this tall. I have the pitcher, and she was only 9 years old, and she carried it across the Allegheny Mountain to help lighten the road, the load. And of course the other children carried something too. And my mother lived to be 104. She would have been 105 if she'd lived. She died in July, and she'd lived till December. She would have been 105.
Wow. What else did she tell you about that trip across the Alleghenies? Do you remember anything?
Well, they walked most of the way across the mountain. And it was there's four girls and one boy. That took a lot of weight off of it. The covered wagon. And did you know Dr. Osborne that was on the staff at the Ashland Hospital?
I've heard of his name.
Of course, he's since died. And Dr. Sparks was a friend, a family friend. And he and my father were good friends. They belonged to the Baptist Church out in Carleton County. He told me that Dr. Osborne was performing an operation, and they dropped dead. And he was Dr. Sparks was assisting, and Dr. Osborne dropped dead at his feet, and Dr. Sparks had to go ahead with him. Operation. And he was his best friend, and this Osborne was a relative of my mother's. My mother was Osborne.
And you said you were born in Cherokee.
Yes.
How
it's out from Webville, a few miles. They have a good road out there now, and right the side of the road is the original post office, and it must not be more than 12 or 14 feet square, but on it it says Cherokee Post Office. They've preserved that. It's right beside the road. They have good roads out there. I've been out there, and they have gas. They struck gas there, oil out there, and they have people have gas. And that's where I was born.
How did your family come to settle in that area?
I don't know. They came from Virginia and then just kept coming on. And finally they landed in Lewis County. And my father wanted to put the ones younger than me in school, in church school down there. And then it used to be a summer resort at Glen Springs. And a lot of noted people, even the president had been out there. And the school burned. So they were stranded out there, and then they came back to down at the between South Portsmouth and Fullerton. And then they had to scatter the children out in different schools. There was four younger than me. And I was young then, but I was married, and we moved here. And we lived here since under 14. We survived the 37 flood. We had 10 feet of water in the house.
Goodness sakes. How did you cope with that?
Well, we got everything up. They built, they put a scaffold in here and put everything on they could, and then moved some of the furniture up to high school, and some of it we had to leave in the water, and some of part of it washed away. And then we just picked up this and that and other, some of it from antique places, and we finished them ourselves.
How long was the water in your house?
10 days.
Where did you spend those 10 days?
Over there, as you go out, EK, there was a house built on the side of the hill, and downstairs was, you know, open to, out to this road, and the upstairs was open down on the hill. But that since, well, they moved the house, I think, the other side of the road. And we stayed out there. We first went over to Cranin's house, this upstairs, and Elwood Morton married one of the daughters, and they moved, he had diabetes, and they moved out to the hill and left us there to take care of things. And he had the post office, and we had the post office money and everything there. But they came along in the night. Am I talking too much?
No, please, go ahead.
Mr. Burns and Mr. Curry came along in the night about at 2 o'clock or 2:30, and called to us to get ready to get out. That the water, the report was, we'd have 5 more feet of water, and then it was almost touching the floor. Mm-hmm. And my husband and two sons were there. Our daughter was married and lived at Gal Police. And they took us out, and they couldn't land this side of the house. They had to go up and then drift down to the window, and we went out the window, and the water got on the floor upstairs. And we crossed, Mr. Curry and Mr. Burns had a boat, his steel boat, and they crossed these big wires over here, this railroad.
Wow.
In a steel boat. And they told us to not move at all. If the boat dipped, it would touch the wires and we'd all be electrocuted. And that was sort of a scary time.
so. Has there been any other time that the water's been in your house?
No, not only in the back. It began to come in the back. I think it was about 46. And that was all. And then we had our house raised 16 inches, which helped to keep it out another time or two.
Mm-hmm. So the 37th flood was definitely the worst flood.
Yes, it was. I think in 1913 the water was in the house up to the second sash of the window. But we didn't live here, then we moved here the year after. And we still had flood water and the flood mud in the house for some time because it, you know, just kept coming out of the woodwork.
Mm. How long did it do that?
Oh, for some time. And we just kept cleaning and finally and all this fear.
What was Greenup like when you first came here? Do you remember?
Well, these roads, most of the roads were dirt roads, and some, I think, was paved with brick. The streets were very bad, and the sidewalks too. And this out here was just a dirt road. And there's only 3 automobiles in Greenup.
Do you remember who owned those?
Yes, Walmart was one, and Dr. Sayards and Dr. Brady. Dr. Sayards was related to Judge Sayards, Jim Sayards.
So talk to Judge Sayards on Wednesday.
Did you? I guess he could tell you a lot because he used to be about as old as I am, I guess. He lived here when we moved here. He wasn't married then. There used to be a wholesale grocery here. And they tore down the old Columbia Hotel that was so old. During First World War, there's an epidemic of the flu, and my husband's uncle had double pneumonia, and he was head of the wholesale house they had here that sold meat, and he dropped dead on the street.
Hmm. Were a lot of people affected with that flu in this area?
Yes. Most people had it. Mm-hmm. And this, my husband's uncle, Monroe Webb, he married Jim Sarab's wife's sister, so we were related by marriage to my husband.
Have you worked through the years?
Not only in the home.
Just in the home.
Plenty of accidents. Well, oh, we bought a lot of time. At first we just bought this house, and then we bought a lot of time for when they had it for sale, and so we had 8 city lots, but I sold 3 of them to my regret, because it didn't turn out so well. Mm-hmm. And we had a garden. I helped make a garden, and they helped me in the house move furniture and help clean it. They always cleaned my Venetian blinds, and I mean, they always took them down, and I washed them, and that was interesting. I hated to clean them.
Are you a good cook?
Yeah. I just thought the other day, my husband says, Mommy, you're the best cook in the world. He had diabetes, and you had to have special things and prepare them in a special way, and I did my best to make them good and attractive. And I'm not so much a good cook now, because I don't have many to cook for. I have our daughter was married and had 2 sons. And they're both married and live in Nice. When they come, we eat out our main meals and just have breakfast at home. And the oldest one is Michael Dickerson, and he's lieutenant colonel in the Army. And he visits us once a year. Mm-hmm. And Tommy works for a 3M company, and he said he wouldn't get to come before next June because they had to go visit his wife's people because they hadn't been there for some time. They live in remote Virginia. Picture is my great granddaughter. She's 18 years old. She's wearing braces now, now she's not wearing braces, and she's going to join the Army in October. And she's going to be a technician, and I guess she'll follow her father around because he's been in service. He graduated from Marietta College. Mm-hmm. And of course he's been to about 3 other colleges since and graduated, and I don't know whether he'll still make it a career or whether he'll, when he serves his 20 years, he may be out, I don't know. But the 3 children have known nothing but the Army. They travel with him. They didn't go to Korea or Vietnam, but they went to Japan and spent 3 years over there. The children learned to sing songs in Japanese. It was real cute.
The reason I'd asked you about cooking a few minutes ago is that it occurred to me that the way people cooked when you were growing up and the way you cook now is probably a lot different. I imagine it was a little harder to prepare food and get it ready and everything, wasn't it, when you were a child?
Yes. But we always had a garden and had our own meat. Mm-hmm. My father would dress a beef in the fall, and he'd sell part of it because we wouldn't need it all. And then kill hogs, and we always had our own meat, and all the all the things that goes with the farm, including different kinds of fruit. And we always put up everything. And I did my own canning and all till the last 2 years I haven't had any garden. But when I was 79, I made a garden myself. But when you've always been used to doing things, all kinds of work.
That's right.
You just get used to it and it comes easy.
What kind of jobs did you have on the farm when you were growing up? What kind of things were your responsibility?
Hoeing onions mostly, which I hated. Because my mother would plant it, the rows so close together that it was so hard to dig between them without digging them up. Now they have a little onion hole. I have a whole onion hole, and it's just easy to advise it. If I made a garden myself, I would always have it just in rows, like you'd put rows of beans or corn, and then you could hoe on both sides without digging them up. But I don't know why they used to make onion beds.
What's an onion bed exactly?
Well, they'd be about this wide, and then it'd just be rows of onions close together. So you get more in them, I guess. And then you would just have to dig in between those little rows, and they were so close that it was hard to do. And I hated that.